Hi, and welcome to another edition of The Cosmic Cafe, the companion interview podcast to The Cosmic Circle. I'm Isla Ruby, and today we have a special treat for Marvel fans. Over Zoom, we sat down with Echo director Sydney Freeland to chat all things Echo and Maya Lopez. Listen on for our full chat. Enjoy!
Hi, it's nice to meet you.
Hi, nice to meet you.
I'm such a fan of Echo and of Strange New World, so I'm really excited to talk.
Oh, thanks.
I would love to talk about, you know, how you kind of got onto the Echo project, you know, your journey to it.
Yeah, I think you know, obviously the Echo character first appeared in the Hawkeye series, and you know, and that was Alakwa Cox, you know, obviously phenomenal, amazing, fantastic. That was the Echo character's MCU sort of debut, but the character has been around since like 1998, you know, and she's introduced in that Daredevil run of hers. And, you know, so the character has been around for a while, yeah. and you know, there's a little bit of mythology built up around her. And I think for myself personally, like I was introduced to the concept in January of 2020. And I know this because it was right before the lockdown. And I got an email from Bert and Bertie, who co-directed on Hawkeye. And I remember they emailed me and said, "Hey, do you know any deaf Native American actresses?" And I just wrote back, it's like, "Nope, good luck." And I was like, that's very specific. And then that's sort of like the first inkling that I was became aware that they were going to do bring Maya into the MCU. And then obviously when I came on board, then Hawkeye had already aired, and you know, the real thing was, you know, like with Alakwa was, you know, her sum total film experience was a few days on Hawkeye. So to go from that to being the lead of an entire Marvel series, you know, we shot for over 90 days, you know, mm-hmm. in Georgia, and that's, you know, to be number one on the call sheet is a massive responsibility, and it's a huge undertaking for like even for like the most seasoned actors, you know. Mm-hmm. Alakwa just, I mean, she rose to the challenge, you know. She rose to the challenge and excelled beyond anybody's wildest, you know, expectations.
She was amazing, and you know, the character is so much fun too. So I'm excited about that. Can you talk about, so, you know, I want to get into the series a little bit more. Can you talk about, you know, Maya's, you know, journey over these episodes? You know, where do you think she starts and where does she end up? What, you know, what were kind of the goals with all of that?
Yeah, you know, I think it was really, thematically, it was really about this, like, exploration of the definition of family, right? Mm-hmm. And that was, we always knew, yeah, like when we were crafting kind of the series, that we knew that it was the Kingpin Maya relationship was going to be at the heart of the series, right? So there were other aspects in there that were floating around, but we knew that was going to be the heart of the series. And then we also knew that she was going to go back to Oklahoma. And so, you know, once we had those two elements, and I think kind of what kind of presents itself over the course of the series is that she comes in. What I love about the character and what I love about her in Hawkeye is that she was a villain, and I didn't want to shy away from that. I wanted to lean into that. I wanted to, you know, embrace the more visceral, gritty, sort of naturalistic elements of the character, and so that we could, you know, totally make a departure from Hawkeye, right? And but when we come into the series, she is a villain, but thematically, she's more New York than she is Oklahoma at that point in her life. And she has a more New York sort of mindset and definition of family, right? So she's fully sort of like ingrained in that Kingpin kind of criminal underworld. And so her definition of family is a little more conditional, right? So it's mm-hmm. like, it's very much like you scratch my back, I scratch yours, you know? And so, but at the same time, it can be, you know, you can rise to the ranks, but then you can also be discarded as quickly as you've been sort of like elevated, you know? And so I think it's, you know, obviously she's excelling in that environment to, you know, to the point of being a potential heir to Kingpin's empire, right? And so that's where we're coming into the series. And then over the course of it, we're going to sort of challenge her definition of family and introduce her some bit a definition of family that's a little more unconditional, if that makes sense. You know, and so that's, and then with and then introduce like the cultural aspects of that along with her biological family and sort of challenge her preconceived notions so that by the end of the series, she has a different definition of what family is, or at least she's open to a different definition of family. And so that's really like what the sort of the broad series arc was for her character, her emotional arc and change is that, you know, like I think I would like to think that she's, you know, by the end of the series, she's still very much capable of bad things, you know. And so if she starts off at a villain, you know, I don't want her to be Captain America. I want her to, you know, still have some grit and some, you know, maybe I'd like to think that her ceiling is an anti-hero, you know, kind of like a Wolverine type of character still operates on the margins, you know. And so that's, you know, I think that was in terms of her over the course of the series, it was really that was kind of her arc.
That's awesome. Can you talk a little bit about the conversations about like kind of grounding this project in the Choctaw Nation? What the discussions were like with them, and how that dialogue went about? Because there's the balance between like authenticity, accuracy. It's just so interesting.
And it was, well, I think first and foremost, it was, you know, when I came on board, the character was Choctaw, right? So one of the first things that was important for me was to engage the Choctaw Nation. And, you know, really it was all about doing two things. One was asking their permission, you know, which is not something that's always done with portrayals of Indigenous peoples. And the second was to create a dialogue, you know, and so you can have those intentions, but then you need to have the resources to back that up. And then that, you know, thankfully Marvel was behind us 110%. And so we actually ended up flying all of our department heads out to Oklahoma. And, you know, we all went to, I took them to a powwow because I'm trying to describe, you know, I grew up going to powwows, so I'm trying to describe them to folks, but it was, you know, they got to see it firsthand. But more importantly, like my costume designer got to see Powell outfits through her lens, my cinematographer through her lens, my AD through his lens, because he's gonna have to organize the dang thing, you know, my production designer, so on and so forth. But then we also got to meet with the Choctaw Nation and we were, you know, we tried to be very upfront with what we were doing. It's like, hey, listen, this character's a villain. She's got the bloody violent background. But the culture, her culture and her tradition is one of the things that's going to, you know, help her preserve her humanity in the end. That we want to embrace that. We don't want to shy away from these aspects. But we also want to create a dialogue. And so I think based off of that, they were, you know, they were amazing collaborators to work with. And, you know, and that's where you sort of, bring in the cultural expertise, the language expertise, the, you know, like we'll focus on the story and the emotion and what we're trying to do, but then we also want to be tell things in an authentic manner, you know.
I think I read that you pitched the moment where Maya was facing off with her family, kind of with like Kingpin in the powwow. Can you like I'd love to know more about that. Can you talk about that either like with filming because you've got like lots of moving parts or just whatever you want to share about that.
Oh, I don't know if I came up with the idea. I mean, if I did, I'd be happy to. I don't know that I can take credit for that. But I did know. I did. You know, I think we had. There was always that showdown in the barn. The powwow was well, what I mean. What I will say is that to me, the powwow was one of the two things in the series that I can genuinely say I've never been seen before, right? Like, what do I mean by that? Like, you know, like I grew up reading comic books. I grew up going to powwows, but those two things never overlapped, right? So to have a finale set in the backdrop of a powwow and to have Kingpin show up there at the powwow, like that to me was like, this is the reason to do the show, you know? Like to have this, and so you know, again, it was a huge undertaking to because we had to recreate this, and even like something like as simple as not as simple, it's extremely complex. Like a POW costume is not everything's made from scratch. Everything's custom. You know, you can't. There's no POW store to go to buy regalia. It's all made and custom, and so we had to bring people in from all over the U.S. and Canada into Georgia. To recreate a powwow from scratch, you know, and I don't know if I answered the question.
Yeah, you totally have. You're good.
Yeah.
Also, so Maya obviously is deaf, and a lot your lead actress is also deaf. Can you talk a little bit about bringing the deaf point of view to screen and kind of like that vibration scape, because it's super interesting and well done.
Yeah, I think I went through my own learning curve, right? I think when I first came on board, yes, the cultural stuff was important, but it was also the deaf society, deaf culture, and our portrayal of that was also extremely important as well too. And so I think for with Lakwa, we all immediately started, myself and my department heads, we all started taking ASL classes. And for myself, it was important that I just wanted to have a be able to communicate with the Lakwa, even on the most basic sort of like in my kindergarten level, nice again, sort of ASL way. But I think it's important for me to be able to look an actor in the eye and be able to connect emotionally in the moment on the day. There were all of these great positive consequences that came out of that. So in terms of just us, and also just trying to take a step towards her, like it's like I can sympathize with her being in that situation of like, being from a marginalized community, stepping onto a film set, and it's very easy to feel even further apart from others, And so I think one of the things that we tried to do create was an environment where we could all kind of take a step towards each other. But in terms of even like the ASL, like one of the great things that came out of that is that as I was taking classes, as we were taking classes, my cinematographer and I were talking like, well, when you sign, it's usually here or it's here. So like we don't want to have a frame that's like this, where we can't see all the signing. And like that's gonna like to someone who's deaf, that's gonna be like, yeah, dummy, that's of course, that's a no-brainer. And so I'm coming in like, hey, what if we had a frame like this, where we could see all of the ASL. And so but that led to all these conversations we got to have with each other. And then we have, the most amazing sort of deaf resources there with us, which are people that have the lived experience. You have like a Lakwa, and then you have people like Doug Ridloff, who is an ASL master, and he translated our scripts from English to ASL because the two languages are not one-to-one. So we got to again create a dialogue, create a discourse, and go back and forth to hopefully tell things in a more authentic manner. But in the case of even taking ASL classes, it actually led to us changing our visual style of the show from this being a traditional sort of close up to this being a close up in our show. And so for Maya, if this is a close up, that doesn't mean that everyone else gets more special treatment. They get this. No, if this is a close up on Maya, this is a close up on everybody else.
Oh, that's awesome. Can you talk about, was there anything really challenging or just like super professionally gratifying that, you were able to accomplish, or besides what we've talked about, or bring to screen or showcase that?
Oh yeah, it was the hardest thing I've ever done. This was the most difficult production I've ever worked on, but it was also the most rewarding, But no, I would say, I think just for myself personally, I think, I went through my own learning curve, specifically, just to continue on sort of the deaf culture and the ASL, the portrayal of ASL and all of that. It was, I think going into it, admittedly, I had biases, I had preconceived notions of what I thought could and could not be possible. One being, can we have a scene that's 4, 5, 6 minutes long, between two characters where nothing's spoken? Like, film is a visual medium, but it's also an audio medium, and so can you hold the audience's attention for that long? And so my DP and I, we tried all these camera tests and everything, and I think now in hindsight, we were trying a bunch of gimmicks to try to compensate for things. And as we sort of, but we had to go through that process to eventually evolve and arrive in where we did, which is something that is fairly traditional. It's fairly traditional in its portrayal, and the only difference is that this is a close up versus this is a close up, but the emotion is the emotion, and the characters are the characters, and the humanity is the humanity. And then regardless of where you are, where you're from, or how you sort of present to the world, and so at the end, it's a very simple statement, but I had to go through my own sort of process to arrive at that, and I couldn't be more happy with the product and the final version.
Well, awesome. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you taking the time to talk.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening. You can find the companion article for this podcast, along with all the other news for those who like superheroes, science fiction, and fantasy, films, TV shows, and other media at thecosmiccircus.com. Have a great day.